Welcome back. Well, we're in the final stretches. We're coming down to the last two modules. The last two modules are pretty tight and pretty short, actually, which is actually a good thing, given our timing. So let's take a look at some Git workflows. Git workflows are pretty straightforward. This is how you go about collaborating with Git. And there's a great post on the Q&A on a link to how GitHub does their workflows. And I love the way they do workflows. Very simple, very clean. So go check out the Q&A for that. Here's some do's and don'ts. Read about Git. Write useful, readable comments. Use them in that tense. Add this. Clean this. So that when someone does a merge in, because the workflows you'll see is you're not always the one who does the commit of the master. Set up your Git config. Make sure that that's right. I'm going to show you a couple tricks to that. On some of the things that I've done, use topic branches locally. So in other words, do things locally, pull a branch, do them, merge them back to whatever branch you're going to push to the server. Now you'll see that I'm pretty okay with you pushing, later on when we talk about workflows, pushing things like a fix to a bug to the server as a separate branch, depending on how you do work in your organization. I think that's a fair statement. Small logical commits and branches that don't live long are the best thing you can do. And choose a workflow that you share in your organization. If half the people are doing rebases, half are doing merges, half are cleaning their code, half aren't, if half the people are cleaning up their history and half aren't, your history is going to be ugly anyway, so you may as well not spend that effort. So you have to care about that. Here's some don'ts. Don't rebase public commits. If you've committed something, never rebase it. You can rebase it locally, but as soon as you try to get that integrated, it's just a mess. Don't delete unmerged remote branches. So if something's out there on a remote branch, in other words, I've committed something and I pushed it out there, don't go delete those without first merging those in, either locally or up on the server. Just, you don't want to lose data. Somebody else probably pushed that. Yeah. If James pushed up his big bug fix that he'd spent a bunch of time on, and I just go out and start whacking things and deleting them from the server, that can irritate people. I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah, totally.
You could always, you know, we could always fix it, right? You can always go back and fix things.
Yes.
It's version control. It's not gone. It's just you have to use some tricks, like going to Git reflog instead of Git log and looking and getting the actual SHAs and start working with SHA hashes. Not fun. Don't have more than one kind of project or thing per repo. This one can be controversial, but kind of keep a repo with the stuff you're working on. What that means is that if you're taking dependencies on other people's open source projects or other people's projects, bring those in through a dependency management tool like NuGet or some of the more modern development practices, really rather than just trying to take their code and copy it in. Now, there's something called submodules and subtrees, which are a way to do that in Git and pull those in. We're not going to be talking about those in this, but we recommend you look at it. Don't create very large repos. Repos can get giant. Don't do that. Don't try to check in your photo library or something to Git. It's just not. It's just crazy. And don't panic. Git's not scary. It has a reputation for that, but it really isn't scary. Some remotes. Just about remote ones. We've talked a little bit about remotes. I just want to come back to this again. This is how in a workflow that you collaborate with other people. So when we're trying to reach out to other people, we really need to have some way that is off your local machine. And where that normally is a file share somewhere on your network, somewhere on the internet, or pretty much that's it, network or internet.
Yep.
You can have multiple remotes. A lot of them are going to be read-only, and we'll talk about where you use read-only remotes and where you don't. And then to manage them, just remember, Git remote add, Git remote remove, Git remote, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
Just things to think about. Why use them? This is where you get your collaboration from. Now, we've got workflows. This is a module on workflows, and we've talked about remotes already. So I don't want to spend too much time here.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of different workflows. Here's how you see your remotes. Just again, just as a thing, get remote or get remote-v or get remote-verbose, whichever you prefer, to see all of your remotes. Origin is the server you cloned from by default. Again, you can rename it. There's even a get remote rename command. You can also create some short names, like get remote add James, blah, blah, blah. I can just use James. You know, this is the short name rather than the whole thing, which is by default. Origin is the same. Then you can say git fetch James, git push James, git push origin.
Mm-hmm. Or that's my public repository that you want to collaborate with.
Yeah, or that's your public one that I could collaborate. Yeah, exactly. I can just go ahead and add it. Branching again. We've talked through some of this, this stuff. Just we want to refresh it as we go in now. Fetching and pulling. Git fetch, git pull. Fetch pulls it down and brings it into your repository, but it doesn't merge it to your master. Git pull brings it down and merges it. Mm-hmm. Pushing to remotes, git push the remote name and the branch name. If you happen to be on a tracking branch, like you know, I'm on a tracking branch called foo, and I do a git push there, it'll push to origin and foo by default.
Yep.
Push will be rejected if there are changes on the server that you have not pulled down and integrated. It's just the nature of the beast.
We've seen it.
Yep, we've seen it. First demo, I kind of threw him off track. My apologies there.
Nope.
But it was a good lesson.
Yep.
Remove and rename remotes. Again, you can download these slides and take a look at that. But or just get remote -help.
Yep. Get remote help. Opens up into a web page and lets you go look at that stuff.
Yep, all the help is right there. Granted, it's pretty complex. There's a lot of powerful stuff there. Yep. You can do so many things that sometimes it's, you know, 25, 30 printed pages of things you can do with configuration settings, et cetera. You want to rename a remote, get remote, rename James, JT, James Dupper, make it short. You know, I don't like typing James. That takes forever. JT's faster.
yep.
And remove a remote.
That's fine.
I think we've demoed this enough. Yeah. I want to skip over the demoing remotes. We've spent so much time on the demo of that. Let's talk about how you collaborate and dive into that, because we've done a bunch of the remote stuff. Centralized workflow. This is using Git as though it were a central repo, as though it were a centralized version control system with the ability to check in and create history locally. And this is the most common usage. I'll be honest, we see this everywhere, especially people who are moving from something like TFS, Subversion, Perforce, any of the centralized systems. It's such a natural workflow. You have a shared repository. All of the developers or all of the people contributing are all really just part of the team. Mm-hmm. They're part of the membership. They're all trusted. They're all allowed to make changes to the source code. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Mm-hmm. Very simple centralized workflow. Integration manager workflow is a little bit different, and I'm going to throw that off to James. Talk to this one.
So integration manager workflows, the way it differs is that rather than the developers pushing the code up to the Blessed repository, each one of them has their own public repository. So they pull code from the Blessed repository to get all the shared code. They create their topic branches, and then they push those topic branches to their public repository. The integration manager will then fetch those public topic branches that they've created, whether it's a feature or a bug fix, and then they'll merge those manually into the master branch and then push that back up to the Blessed repository. This works more in hierarchical organizations or places where you want an integration manager, someone that's known the code for a long time, to do the integration with the code back into the master branch.
Exactly. Yeah. This would be the workflow that you would find at in open source very commonly at GitHub. This is exactly how you would do development if you were in GitHub.
Yep.
Say I wanted to contribute to D3. It's a JavaScript library. Mm-hmm. I would go out and I'd go to the D3 place in GitHub and I'd say fork it. And basically, boom, it gives me my developer public repository, just like that.
Yep.
One thing, boom, I pull it locally, and I'm working in my local machine, my private machine, make the changes, I'm throwing it up to GitHub, and when I want to go to the integration manager, so that he or she knows about my developer public site, I send what's known as a pull request. And this is something that is not part of Git, but it's part of GitHub. GitHub takes a pull request, and it's a way to alert the integration manager that I'm asking them to take, to pull my changes down to their repository. They pull it down on a branch, take a look at it. If they like it, they move it to the blast repository.
You can actually create pull requests from the command line as well. And it'll create an email basically based off of a template of the commits and all that sort of stuff that you just send off to the integration manager.
Absolutely. Slightly different than the pull request I'm thinking of. It is a way to send patches.
Yes, patches.
You can send full patches via email. Yeah. That's a good point. Git patch, for those of you who want to try it out.
Yeah.
And you can take all of your changes, stuff them into a big giant email, and off it goes. And then the integration manager pushes to the blast repository. Yep. So if I was trying to do something like that. The next one is the dictator lieutenants model. Dictator lieutenants model is almost identical to the previous one, with the exception that you're working on such a large repository that you really can't have just one person being responsible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at this point, a lot of public developers will merge to will ask the lieutenant to do a pull request.
Yep.
Lieutenant pulls in, and like if you're using the Linux kernel, there's lieutenants that handle different parts of the kernel. So if I was adding a new video driver or something, I would submit it to the right lieutenant. Lieutenant would look at it, verify it, check it out, test it, yada 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 yada. If they liked it, they'd move it in, and then they'd send their pull request or their recommendation to the dictator. Is that fair? That
sounds right? Totally. And you'll see this not only in it's mainly for the really 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 big projects that have a ton of contributors to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Not inside an organization. You're never going to see this inside of an organization, with the exception of potentially outsourced teams. If you have outsourced teams, you may have 15 or 16 outsourced teams, or two or three or four, and the manager of those outsourced teams might take a grouping of their changes, and then they're responsible for that integration. That's the only time I've seen the dictator lieutenant model in use at inside of an organization. Now, how do you contribute your code? So this is the big models. How do we structure our remotes? Mm-hmm. But there's something different from structuring your remote and actually using it. And here we're going to use topic branches. And James demonstrated this brilliantly. Yep. Every demo he did was demonstrated along this way. James, what is it?
So topic branches are a common terminology used in Git where when you start your work, you just create a new branch, you check out that branch based off of master, and then you do your work on that branch. And that's what we call a topic branch. And a lot of the times we name the topic branch somewhat after what we're working on, right? So if we're working in VSO, we might say PBI 22014.
Yeah.
That might be one of our topic branches. Or we might say feature A or feature B or something like that. We will do our work on it. And then once we're done, we'll just push that branch up. And once we push that branch up, we just tell them, hey, we have a feature or a bug fix ready to be integrated. And our integration managers can then pull that down, merge it back into the master, and then push that up to the blast repository so that it can then be shared with all the other contributors to that project as well. So that's one way to get your personal changes into the blast repository.
That's awesome. Merge, rebase onto master, off you go, and you're set for that. Heading back to the slides, centralized, we've got private branches. You can, with that one, you just set up your own, everything's done on a private branch.
Yep.
So just that way that you did it, it would be just completely in private branch, and then fetch, rebase, push.
Yep, good to go. And rather than having different, you still work in branches locally, but you just don't push those branches up.
Yep, you just push up a remote, off you go. Demo, I don't know. Given we've got some really cool demos coming, I'm going to skip them.
Yeah,
We've done it. Every demo you gave fell along these lines, which was really just take it out, pull it, and push it back up again. All right, let's stop right here for a moment.
Yep.
We have a little bit of setup we do, so we're going to take a 5-minute break. Is there any way to take less than 5 minutes, Barry?
I got a 5-minute counter.
He's got a 5-minute counter.
Awesome.
Why don't we burn up 3 minutes of that 5-minute counter?
We can do that.
We'll see you back here when the counter is 2 minutes remaining.